6. The Last Gathering.
The first of the champions are about to arrive. I sit upon the throne, facing the silver door, and wait for them. Not the throne, of course. My throne. It is but a poor high-backed wooden chair, lacquered red and marked with certain sigils of my devising. It is kept in a side chamber off the main nave, and brought out for my use when I am required to enact the formal duties of regent. I have it placed with its back to my silent lord and the great dais, so that it appears that the sun is rising behind me. The intimidating proconsuls, Uzcarel and Caecaltus, have brought it hence for me today, and set it carefully in its spot. Either one of them could carry it on the crook of a single finger, but they insist on bearing it between them, in all solemnity, as though it was an artifact of veneration. It is not. It is simply somewhere for me to sit, for I am old and almost always tired. Chairs, thrones, dungeons, rooms, men, gods. Words are strange and imprecise, and unintended significances too easily applied. I have always found symbols far more fluent and explicit when it comes to expressing sophisticated meaning. I am old, but I am not tired now. I am fizzing with expectation. I stare at the silver door, so far away from me, as though staring at it will make it open faster. I tap my staff, tick, 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 against the tiled floor. Come now. Come now! The clock's run out. Let us get this matter underway. An invisible hand rests gently on top of mine to dissuade me from fidgeting with the stick. I stop. I smile to myself ruefully. Yes, I murmur. I am impatient, my lord. Forgive me. He does. Nervous, perhaps, I reply. Preparing myself. He whispers. No, I assure him. No second thoughts. I have not changed my mind. He wonders. No, old friend, I say. I fully understand what you are going to ask of me. Crowds are starting to gather in this place they call the throne room, and in the pavilions and chambers adjoining it. I have beckoned to us all those we will need to support this undertaking. Senior lords, war courtiers, high functionaries, intelligences, artificers. A mere 3,000 or 4,000 people, the necessary logistical backbone, technical and bureaucratic. I sent my thought summons, little sigils of compressed meaning and instruction, flashing out like shooting stars through the hierarchy of the sanctum, hand picking the appropriate personnel. They enter in small groups, wide-eyed and hushed, through the side doors and antiports around the edges of the nave, and congregate in huddles. I can smell their anxiety, their awe, their dread. There is palpable anticipation, an excitement that I share with them, and have not felt since... that I have not felt ever. This surpasses the declaration of unification, the call to crusade, even the great triumph. I have, I suppose, grown too used to the monuments and punctuations of history. But this, I cannot deny it, has a suspension, as if everyone and everything and everywhere has turned to look. But what we do now, what he does now. They gather, meek and quiet, around the silver door at the south end of the nave, along the lustrous floor of outer aisles, and they crowd the triforium galleries above. The choirs are singing only the low plainsong needed to maintain psychomantic equilibrium. No one dares approach, nor should they. From where they stand, cowed by the scope of this impossible room, all they see is a remote figure on a faraway golden seat, as still and silent as it has ever been. Beneath that outward stillness, My lord does 1,000 things every second. 1,000 things that only one or two of them at most could even begin to comprehend. He stokes the wards that guard the last of the palace. He radiates controlled burns of telethesic energy that weaken and shrivel the Neverborn, instantiating closest to our fastness. He watches and moderates the flow of the Endwar at both micro and macro levels. He moves through the minds of individual warriors as they crunch and gasp and stab, observing the flow of combat at a granular level. And, simultaneously, he watches from above, like one of poor Jagatai's finest hawks, hovering on an updraft, beholding below him entire regiments and armies as they twist and pivot and brawl. He shaves and shapes the etheric turmoil of the webway, guiding and conducting immaterial force via the throne's ancient machineries, so that the doomsday pressure can be held at bay. And he tries, as best he can, to soothe the minds of 1 billion terrified human souls as they flee and panic and scramble for some vestige of safety. I fear I will be able to manage but a fraction of those things. The expectant tension increases and becomes razor sharp as the silver door opens and the custodes pylorus admit the train of armourers. In they troop, in their imbricated iron and brass garb, ceremonial versions of the work armour they wear in the smithies. Every man and woman of them is deaf, the occupational hazard of work in the constant din of the hammering rooms. They haul and push the burnished carts on which my lord's war gear lies, brought from the sealed chambers of the House of Weapons. A tight, hard hush falls. He has not spoken, but his intent is plain. I rise from my seat. The first 2 champions are here,